Today we're going to look at the first chapter in the book of Job. Job is one of those books that we don't look at a lot because I think Job is one of those books that tends to disturb people. Because we look at Job and sometimes the things that we read make us feel like, that doesn't help my faith. It kind of makes me worried because I don't want to end up like Job. And a lot of times I think the misconception that people get and the fear that comes from Job is we tend to read Job is broken down into several different sections. You know, first of all, it starts off where we see the conversation or the discussion between God and Satan. And then we see all that Satan wreaks upon the life of Job and what he takes from Job. And then in his brokenness, in his time of loss, we see that Job's three friends come. And Job's three friends try with their earthly knowledge, with their understanding tradition, or just trying to apply the logic of man, not understanding spiritual things. We see that those three friends come, and each one in turn tells Job, well, here's why this happened. And each one of them always comes back to, well, it's your fault. It's because of sin in your life. That's the only reason this could happen. And then we see Job's response, and then we see ultimately how God in his love appears and speaks directly to Job and speaks the truth and restores and blesses. A lot of times what happens, because Job is such a long book, it is hard for us to read because we do sometimes forget that just because something is spoken by someone in the Bible doesn't mean that's God's truth or God's word. Job is 42 chapters long. There's a lot there. And so much of it is the text of Job's friends speaking to him and telling him their perception. And we get Job's response to them as well. But we can also see that Job doesn't fully understand the things of God. So here's my point out of this. A lot of times people will look in the book of Job and they'll read certain verses, especially some of the verses that come from the three friends, and they'll say that, well, because this was spoken in the Word of God, it must be true. Well, just because someone in the Bible says something, if it's saying something that's contrary to the principles of God or to the Word of God, this is a story. It's telling us men sometimes don't always understand God. And just because you hear or read someone saying something using their wisdom, and that's what the friends are doing, they're using natural wisdom, they're using their wisdom, they're using tradition. Those are not things that are the truth of God. So some of the things that are said don't represent. Just because one of Job's friends says it doesn't mean that it's true or that's what God says. You have to look at what God says to Job in the book of Job. This is where the truth comes from. So a lot of times I think we have a hard time with Job because we read it and we don't understand it because we're taking the things that his friends say and we're grabbing hold of those and thinking that those are the truth, and it's not. So with that understanding, I just want to look at Job chapter 1. Because there's a number of things that take place here that I think, even in this first chapter, sometimes are confusing towards people. So we do learn in the first couple of verses, you know, about Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. This means that he feared God and he shunned evil because he knew that evil was wrong. So Job is a man who's blameless, not that he's flawless, it doesn't mean that, but it means that his heart is towards God. He's looking and putting his trust in God. And he's choosing not to do evil, he's recognizing evil, but he chooses not to do evil, not because there's a reward system for it, but because he sees that it's wrong. And because he has a heart for God, he chooses not to do what's wrong. Now it goes on to tell us about his sons and his daughters. He had seven sons and three daughters who were born to him. It goes through his possessions, and clearly he is a man that has great wealth. Much has been given to him by God. In fact, at the end of verse 3, it says, So that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Ooh, that's saying something. That is saying how much Job was blessed and walking in the blessings of God. It goes on to tell us in verse number 4 that his sons on their day of birth, his sons would all celebrate their birthday. And he had seven sons and three daughters. So on the day of any one of the sons' birth, they would have this big celebration, this big party. They'd invite all their other brothers and their sisters. And they would obviously have lengthy parties as well. But then again, we see the heart of Job. And the heart of Job, obviously the sons and the daughters are not living the same kind of righteous life. And Job, in realizing this, After they would have these celebrations, they'd eat and drink. It says, and when the days of their fasting were over, Job sent to them to purify and hallow them. So after they go through all of this, which is beyond celebration, it's self-involved. Clearly they do not have the hearts that Job has, who is reverent towards God, has that reverential fear towards God, and shuns evil. Is blameless because he trusts God. He's reverential towards God. And he chooses to shun evil because he knows that evil is wrong. That's the heart of Job. His sons have a different heart. And because Job sees that after all these celebrations that they have, after all their eating and drinking and days of celebration, again, a different heart from the heart of their father. But Job, in the goodness of his heart, caring for his sons, brings them after that party and brings them to purify them and hallow them. So he knows that they've been doing things that are at odds with what Job would view as one who is reverent towards God, things that he would view as being against God. But out of his love for God, he has them come, and they would rise up, and he would offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed or disowned God in their hearts. Thus did Job at all such times. So at all the times that he saw his sons or his family or those he loved doing something that was contrary to word, to God and to his word, because Job had such a heart of reverence towards God and chose to shun evil, to shun what's wrong because he knows it's wrong. He shuns evil. It's his choice just because he knows it's wrong. He doesn't shun evil because he's fearful of what will happen to him. You see, and that's a key. Because we look through Job, and as we read through Job, all of his friends are going to tell him that all the calamity that comes upon him is a result of his sins. But Job lives his life. The first verse sets up for us exactly what the heart of Job is, and it's contrary to what all of his friends say. Job is serving God simply. He's blameless. That means he's got a love. He puts his trust in God. He's reverent towards God. And he shuns evil. Shun means to turn away from. He turns away from evil. And it makes it clear in the verbiage when you're in the Amplified, because it was wrong. Not because he was fearful of what evil might bring. The heart of Job is he's not worried or fearful that if he does evil, calamity is going to come to him. That's what his friends tell him when it happens. That's not what Job believes. Job just has a heart for God. He's blameless before God. And because he understands that evil is against God, he simply chooses, because it's wrong. Not because he's fearful of penalty, because it's wrong. He decides to do what's right. And we see this heart further portrayed to us as we see his action towards his sons and his daughters. And when he sees that they have a different heart and they have sinned and said and spoken things, he wanted to cover that. And so he made offerings for them. This is the heart of Job. Now as we read further on down, in verse number 6, now we get to the conversation that Satan has with God himself. Now there was a day when the sons of God, this is speaking about angels, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came along with them. So we're getting a glimpse into the spiritual realm back under the old covenant, and back before Jesus, and back before Jesus had taken back the authority that man had given through sin that man had given to Satan. Satan, because God gave authority to the world and all things of this earth and all things of this natural realm, he gave it to man in the garden. But man, through his sin, through willful sinfulness, through willful rejection of God's, of the promise of God, willful rejection, disobedience to God, through that sin, man then gave that authority over the earth. He willingly gave that authority to Satan. So Satan has authority. Now that ended when Jesus came, because Jesus took back that authority. Jesus defeated Satan. He defeated sin and death and the hold of sin and death over man. He defeated Satan's ultimate hold. Now, there's a time coming that we know of where Jesus is going to reign in absolute victory. Right now, though, it's the church age where he has given you and I that authority. Jesus took that authority at the cross and at his resurrection. He took back that authority that man had taken. He took back the keys of authority, and then he gave those keys of authority to you and I. He gave it to men who believe in him, men who operate in that new covenant, in his blood. Those of us who know Jesus Christ and have accepted his sacrifice on our behalf, those of us who live under the covenant, the new covenant in his blood, he's given to you and to me. He's given us the authority, his authority. But before Jesus Christ, so here in the time of Job, Satan still has the authority. Satan still walks in all authority over the things of the earth. And so we're seeing in the spiritual realm, as the angels are before God, and here is Satan speaking to God himself. Verse number 7 of chapter 1 says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.'" This is just a great statement, because this reveals to us so much about the character and the nature of Satan. So here is Satan, and I have to say this in prefaces as well. You're going to see that Job doesn't really understand anything about Satan. And you can truly see that throughout the entire Old Testament. There's not that many times. So much of the Bible, as far as the number of books in the Bible or pages in the Bible, the majority of it's in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But in the Old Covenant, there's only a handful of times that Satan is mentioned by name. And you're going to see a lot of them right here in Job. Book after book never mentions Satan at all. But we see the name of Satan mentioned many times after, in the New Testament and after Jesus Christ, even during the days of Jesus Christ, we see Satan mentioned a lot. So why the difference? Why is Satan not mentioned in the Old Testament, but he is in the New Testament? Because in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, Satan had all authority. Man had no authority at all. They could do nothing. They were powerless against Satan. So there's no point in really even speaking about Satan because they couldn't understand it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to reveal those things, and they had no power against Satan at all. And you can see here, as we go through this text, you can see that Job doesn't really understand who Satan is. But this verse, verse number 7 of chapter 1 of Job, reveals so much because it says, in the Amplified Bible it says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where did you come?'" Now, God knows where he is. God knows all things. "Then Satan answered the Lord." Here's Satan's response. "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." Satan knows where he has authority. It's on the earth. And he's going to and fro on the earth. For what purpose? To bring as much death and destruction as he can. He wants to see man destroyed. Because remember, Satan wanted to have, he wanted to be God. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be praised. He wanted to receive the praise that God had. And since man is designed to be in fellowship with God, to praise him and to worship him, to have a relationship, Satan wanted that. And so since man is the agent of that relationship, and man is the agent of that praise, because man is the paramount part of God's creation, Satan's going to destroy man. So Satan is going across to and fro on the earth. For what purpose? To see what kind of destruction he can bring upon the lives of men. He's bringing bondage, he's bringing death, he's bringing destruction. That's what he does. Satan answered truthfully when he said, I'm going to and fro on the earth. You know, when you realize that, that sounds very familiar to us, and it should. Because we see that same definition of Satan and who Satan is in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, this is what it says. "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." This is what Satan does. Satan is like a roaming lion. This is exactly what Satan says he is here in Job. He says he's going back and forth. He's roaming around. And this is what God reveals to us through Peter, that this is exactly what Satan is. He is like a roaring lion, walking about, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. In the Amplified, that verse says, "Be cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." Satan is roaming around seeking someone that he can seize upon and devour. This is what he's doing even in the book of Job. Now, those who study the book of Job, there is a lot of dispute on when the book of Job was actually written. I think most people kind of believe that it was written even as far back as well before Moses, and sometime after Abraham and before Moses. And some even say before that. So this is one of the oldest books. And Satan, from the time of man being cast out, from the time of man's sin and being cast out of the garden, Satan has been roaming around seeking whom he devour. And this is exactly what he's trying to do. He's looking and he's seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to put his emphasis on Job. And we'll look at that more tomorrow. But here's what I would encourage you. Just read through the first chapter of Job. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you God and God's nature. And let him reveal to you the heart of Job. And let him reveal to you also the truths that are God's word, as opposed to sometimes we get confused by the things that Job's friends say. When Job's friends say things and they say that this is the truth, doesn't mean it's the truth. We can learn so much and see so much from the book of Job. And we'll look at this again tomorrow.